Blog Talk Radio.
Believe everything the mainstream media tells you? We don't. We cover what mainstream doesn't. Welcome to Beyond the Mainstream with Donnie C, Texas Bob, and Cinnamon. Tin hat not required.
That is the wrong show.
At 347-324.
Sorry about that. I forgot to change the ad,
intro.
Whatever. Opening intro, right. What's up, buddy?
Hey, not a whole lot. What's up with you?
Oh, all right. I don't, nothing. Yeah, everything's groovy. Just looking at Ralph. He wants to take down some of Teresa's posts because they're anti-union. Not a one of them were anti-union, Ralphie. And by the way, Ralph, I'm sure you listened to the show anyway. Let me catch you right off the bat. Now, I invited you personally to come on the show and tell us how we're on anti-union, how Teresa's anti-union, and Scott. I'd like you to call in, sure. And you listen. I will listen to you, then you listen to us. But you're I can't say that. Okay, I better get off of this. But anyway, you've been invited, Ralph. Come on, you're a man. And stand up for the UAW if you want to. Jesus, you pansy waste piece of crap. Sick of hearing about you. And that dude just makes me sick. He gets on these things. He doesn't even know what the hell he's talking about.
No.
He doesn't. He really doesn't.
Sometimes, like, he's rambling. I mean, what to think? Or you stop me and think, what are you talking about? I mean, sounds like he's in the same page.
Once the administrator, take these posts down, they're anti-union. And I know better than that because it came from Teresa. I know better. But I guess if you put both sides of an argument out there, you're anti-union. Jesus.
Right.
I want to know every side of the argument, don't you?
Yes. Well, that way at least you can make a... Yeah. You're right. You want to be able to make a well-informed decision, correct?
That'll be right.
I mean...
Exactly. You know, you got a brain... I don't need the UAW to tell me what to do. I look things up and decide for myself. I don't need them to tell me who to vote for. I sure as hell don't need any of my money going towards anybody's campaign. So VCAP can, well, I don't give anyway, so it doesn't really matter. I'm just rambling on just like Ralph.
No. At least you're talking about something that's around the union. You know, at least you're kind of staying on topic. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Guess we're anti-votes. Go ahead.
Right.
Go ahead.
Before I forget, we forgot about doing a show tonight, so we're doing a show. We're going to do an hour show. I want to wish everybody a happy 4th of July. I'd like people to take time to reflect back what our independence. What our liberty.
240 years ago.
Yeah, and not just the price for the service people and the people who fought in the various wars to either get us our freedom or to maintain our freedom and our liberty, which seems to be disappearing before our very eyes.
Yes.
I just want people to reflect back on that and think. You know, what was independence? What is independence? And, you know, it's kind of funny. We're doing the show tonight on Independence Day weekend, and here we are. And it's almost like we feel like Walter Reuther and Victor Reuther and I can't think of the other brother's name, but the Reuther brothers, how they felt when they went against General Motors and Ford and eventually Chrysler to win the union, the right for representation. I'm sure it's the same feeling that our forefathers had when we thought we had to break free from England, you know. And if we want independence, we're going to have to fight for it, folks. That's my point. A lot of people have bled and suffered for the union privileges that we have. And I'm talking about brothers and sisters and their wives and their kids during the sit-down. I mean, my word. I mean, look at the Battle of the Bulge. Or not Battle of the Bulge, but the Battle of the Rouge. You know, people died there. People laid their life down to form these unions that we have. And the leadership is failing the membership now. And, I mean, we heard how Brian feels about this. We listened to how Rebecca talks about, you know, everything that's going on with our union right now is against the standard which we had. And that standard comes from the Constitution of the UAW. Just like the standard that we have here in the United States is supposed to be the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And people feel that they can abrogate those rights in representing us. And that's just exactly what's happening down at Solidarity House. They're failing to represent us. They need to be removed. We need to take our locals back and go from the bottom up. Start to plant floors, start with constitutional delegates, make sure we're sending the right people there, make sure we're electing the right people at our executive level, at the locals. And then when you get down to the Constitution, then you can get the right people in for regional directors, and likewise you'll be able to vote on presidents and vice presidents and make an actual change happen. But you can't do it from your lazy boy. You got to get up. You got to do things. You got to get involved. You know, I give kudos to Rebecca. Rebecca is staying highly involved, highly engaged, and it's a lot of work. And if she wants answers from the vice president's office, Norwood Jewell, she has to be diligent, and she understands that. You have to stay on these guys because Don and I have been around this long enough. They will send you letters to appease you, to pat you on the head, and pass you along, and passively just send you on your way because they don't want to hear what you got to say. If you stay on them and you press them, you're more likely to get an answer. And as you get answers, more answers, then you can ask better questions, the answers they give you, until eventually you'll hold them accountable. But it takes work. Sorry, it takes your time. And
you're right.
So that's where we're at with this whole thing. So we're gonna do the best we can do to help inform the memberships, the people who listen
right.
to this show, the best of my ability. And Brian,
take a breath.
Go ahead.
Take a breath. Take a breath. Settle down. Slow down. Get a hold of yourself. We do have other people I have to get on the show. And if you're just going to keep going, I mean, the person was late anyway. But let me get this person up. You want to take? You had a 50-50 shot at who's late. Is it Buckeye Becky? Buckeye Becky. You got it. You called it.
Oh,
Buckeye
no. Oh,
Becky.
No. Can you hear me?
I don't hear nothing. I can't hear
okay,
nothing.
Scott! tell Donnie that he's now committed two cardinal sins. He is now called me two B words.
Oh, no.
Neither of which are good. Nobody calls me that. I say the last person that called me that is in a grave somewhere.
Really. I'm glad I'm good.
No. So I was online and like 45 minutes ago, I'm like, I'm going to be there early. And then I seen that you put me down as a Buckeye. Did you see my comment?
I see it now. It's all coming back to me. See, I must have been in a trance when I wrote that.
Oh.
Because I wasn't sure we were actually even doing a show. So Scott said, oh, yeah, let's do a show on 4th of July weekend. I said, yeah, that sounds like a wonderful idea.
Well,
so here we...
I know it was, I didn't think about it until yesterday, I think, but then I thought, well, you know, I mean, I always like opportunities to thank people who help us, and I think, you know, if nothing else, it's a great way to say thank you to everybody who serves in our military and everywhere in the government that is fighting for our rights and our constitutional rights and in our unions anywhere, you know. I just think we have our freedoms because of these people, and I appreciate them. So,
yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
Thank you. So, hi guys.
My tear, but that was very nice. Scott, you can talk now. Nobody wants to get in, but if anybody does, I'll give you a pause. I'll mute you.
You'll mute me?
Mute
Scott has a lot of. He has a lot of very good things to say.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. Thanks.
Well, sometimes I do. Sometimes I do.
I didn't catch the very beginning because I was finishing up some dishes, and but I got on and I heard what you were saying about taking a lot of time, you know, working at it and getting off the chair and doing stuff, and it's really very true, Scott. It takes a lot of time, and I've had a really challenging week this week in that when you were saying that, I thought, I guess it's only fair, because I'm not sure that anybody really shared with me when I started out that when you take on the commitment to help other people, you better be ready to have them, not necessarily always be happy with you. And, when you step out, and do things. It's not even necessarily the leadership that would come against you, but I don't understand why a lot of times the membership has issues, especially when you're fighting for the membership. But sometimes it happens, and you need to, I'm learning you need to walk through that and be strong, and it's not always easy, and I think that it's scary. It's scary for people, and maybe having been told that I might have been a little more prepared. But there's a lot of things when you step out of your comfort zone and do things to make a difference or to change things, there's always something. And it's a good thing to be ready for that, I think. So.
Right. Right. I mean, that goes with territory. If you're going to be a union activist, you definitely need your spouse or your significant other's support and understanding, because it's going to take a lot of time. Sometimes it takes a lot of time out of the home and away from the family to do this. But hopefully they understand that you're doing it for the right reasons, and in a roundabout way, you are doing it for them, for your family, for your significant other, your spouse, or for your kids. You're not just being selfish and doing it for yourself, for your own pension and for your own health care, but for theirs, because if you enjoy the fruit of your labor from 30 years past, they'll get to enjoy that also, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
It can be hard. I mean, Don and I both know people who have been marriages have failed because of their activity in the union.
Yeah.
So it's hard, and it's a lot of times it's a thankless job. A shout out to all the union representatives that do their job and look out for the members in the way that they should. There are few, but there are people out there that still do that. But
I know. I've gone to several union awareness trainings. I try to get people to go, so I go and say, "Hey, I'll meet you there." And I appreciate it because I always learn something new anyway. But I don't think people realize the sacrifice that it took to start it, and how it takes sacrifice all along the way. everybody. I mean, when I hear of people who want to run for a position so that they can get off the line or they can have this benefit or that benefit, it really saddens me because it's not about that. It's, you know, when you take on a role and represent other people, you need to be representing them, and that means sacrificing and putting them before you in many, many cases.
Right.
You know, I wish that there was a better way to convey that message today to new hires and to people coming in. I don't think that message gets conveyed enough that, because I don't, when somebody runs for office, so, you know, that's what I look at. How much are you planning on giving, and are you giving to the whole? Or is this something that you're doing for yourself? I don't know. It's kind of sad when you look at things. We got steward elections coming up, and I'm hearing stuff like that. Oh, so-and-so's running because they want this or that. And I think, you know, that's really too bad. I want to hear so-and-so's running because they want to, you know, they want to stand up for our rights, and they want to make sure that we're not getting taken advantage of and that the contract's being implemented and, you know, the reason why we have sewers. and I don't hear that enough, so that's disappointing. But
oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, a person who used to be on the show used to say that there are two types of people who run for office. The people who are there for the power and the control, and the people who are there for the honor and the privilege to serve the people. You know, the latter of those two, only 1% of the people who run are run for the right reasons, for the honor and the privilege to serve the membership. So it's slow. You know what I mean? It's a low number. And people, a lot of people, they do it for the wrong reasons. And, I mean, excuse me, I think that is very evident when we look at Solidarity House, in my opinion. I look at Solidarity House. I look at the executive board. I look at the decisions that the vice presidents made with a lot of the local top chairmen when it comes to our local contracts. It just makes me sick to think that these people, that we elected some of these people into a position, and then they turn around and traitorously stabbed us in the back by not only not fighting for the removal of Tier 2, but to accept Tier 3, 4, and 5 language in our contracts. That's just disgusting, and it's hurting. And it's going to bring up something I'm going to talk about here in a little bit, and it's just really upset me what happened here at our local this last week. Excuse me. And what has happened is on our local Facebook page, they want to know who wore the red shirt on Friday. They want you to upload a picture into the comments. And, of course, third shift would be the first shift to start things off, you know, and then first and then second shift to follow. Now, what I'm hearing is we have people going to special classes, and I have yet to find out what this special class is. I would love to be invited to this special class. But, Don, because you're from our old local, you might get a giggle out of this, or it might make you a little peeved off. But they have people now counting how many people are wearing red shirts on Friday. They want to see how many people will stand in solidarity.
Oh my gosh. Are you kidding? And they're going to make a count?
Yeah. Now, what happened to me on my Friday morning, or Thursday night, my Friday morning, it was after midnight, so it's Friday. was somebody go behind me and I had a black shirt on. And before they could see what was on the front of my shirt, they said, "Where's your red shirt? Don't you have no solidarity?" And I turned around, I opened up my vest, because I got a see-through vest anyway, but I opened up so there was no obstruction. And what it says on the front of my black shirt in yellow, in white, and actually gold and white, I think Don knows where I'm going with this. You know what those colors are, black, gold, and yellow.
Yes, I do.
I get a little choked up about this. Proud father. Proud father of a U.S. Army person, Fort Jackson. Fort Jackson, South Carolina. Hoorah!
Hoorah!
I said, "Now, you tell me how many more I can support my troops." I said, "I only have one, but I have two sons actively serving in the military. How about you? That's only 1% of our population that is willing to serve this country. 1%. And both my boys are part of that 1%. I said, "Don't anybody ever question my patriotism or my solidarity. But now that you're on to the little program here, I said, let me enlighten you a little bit." And this I will enlighten all the listeners, but the ones who've already retired like Donnie, they will already have heard this and they understand it. So I'm going to make it very clear. What our union now has done is taken the service people, and what RED stands for is remembering everyone deployed. That's what RED stands for. So the red shirts was to show that we are supporting our troops, people who are serving our country. And we decided to do it red. And the military has done red for that also, because I've got some of the grunt wear shirts that say that. But back in the day, and I'm talking back in the day, when we all wore a red shirt, that was a true sign of solidarity, because what that was our own private lingo that we're slowing the hell down. This line ain't going to get but half of the numbers. Whatever you're expecting to get, you're going to get half of it. We're slowing it down. That's what the red shirts on Fridays was originally, folks. It was our true show of solidarity, and that we were standing together as union members, and we were going to do what we had to do to make our point, to get what we needed to get. That's what the red shirts were originally. Oh, I get so upset. But because we've taken this shirt on as Friday to remember our troops, I'm okay with that. I'll be cool with that, because it's for a good reason. But to come around and use this despicably to find out how many people, just for a show of solidarity, granted it's for a good cause, but for the bottom line is to see how many people will stick together, that's despicable. That is terrible. So,
Gotta be a better way.
Absolutely. Well,
yeah.
I grabbed one of our committee people. And I said, "Look, I see it in front of my shirt." And he says, "Yeah." I said, "How can I get more support of that?" He says, "Well, you can't." I said, "I don't want people questioning me if I don't wear a red shirt. I've got a gray one that says Proud Army Dad. I've got a couple of these different shirts from different places now. And I wear them proudly, and I wear those. And sometimes I don't wear the red shirt, but I do wear, as a rule, on a Friday, some kind of a military-based shirt. And I don't want somebody coming around and giving me a hard time for not wearing a red shirt." So I asked him, I says, "Do you all want solidarity?" I said, "Why don't you go back to the Constitution and see what you guys got to do if you want solidarity?" I said, "Because y'all have all messed up." I says, "You go back to Article 2 under Section 1 of the Objects." I said, "None of that applies to us no more." I said, "You want solidarity? Start doing that for the membership." I says, "You know what? You want solidarity? I said, start listening to the membership. I said half this membership didn't support, I don't want to get political, but they didn't support Hillary Clinton. A majority of the people that I know of that are the UAW was supporting Bernie Sanders. They didn't
Sanders,
care.
Yeah.
They supported Hillary. Now this last week, I said, I don't want to get political, but some of this needs to get out here. The DNC got caught taking money from anti-union corporations. So there you go. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, we're fighting what we're fighting. But, you know, there's a lot of things going on. This last week, for all the people who are supporting Bernie Sanders, he's not going to concede. He's going to wait. But there was a glimmer of hope, and I thought it was comical this last week. Don, I don't know if you saw it or if you heard about it, but the Secretary of State for California, oh, is that priceless? Was that a Hillary for President campaign, and somebody come up and they served him his papers?
Yes.
And
yes.
He left.
Yeah.
He left almost immediately afterwards for voter fraud in California. If depending on who you talk to, if you count the actual ballots, including the independents, the numbers are reversed for Hillary and Bernie. So Bernie won California, but as evidently there was some voter fraud, and somebody is being called into court for that because he got his papers. And the look on his face was, at first he was dumbfounded, and then he had that nervous grin on his face like he soiled himself. And, of course, his aide was there to push the camera out of the way and shoo people along, but it was too late.
Yeah, that was good.
So,
yeah.
I don't mean to get on my soapbox. Well, yeah, I do, because I tell you what, we've had enough of this. This is baloney has been going on for the better part of 20 years, and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Listen, the required system says you guys need to go by the Constitution and represent the membership, not the interest of the corporation. Period. Period. And this tier system has got to go. It's dividing, and they are dividing us, for purpose, on purpose. And that's wrong, too. There is no solidarity when we are all a bunch of different class citizens inside the same group. And if Rebecca, you just come on the show here recently, but in the past, you've heard me and Don talk about somebody we know that was a temporary for 12 years, and that man would work his butt off. And he ended up having to take a pay cut to get hired full-time and then work his way back up the pay scale. And that's just wrong.
Rebecca, did you get hired?
Well, that's a story.
Uh-oh.
technically, no offers have been made. However, it is verified that 100 will be hired. I have seen a list. My name is on the list. But before that list, I have to get off the to-be-fired list that I'm on.
What?
So I am on a list to be fired because I have an absentee problem, which I don't really have. I keep getting marked absent when I'm not scheduled to work. And so I've been trying to deal with this for weeks and weeks and said, you guys, as a part-time worker, I can be fired if I have more than 3 absences. And at one point, I think I had 8 or 9. Maybe even 10. I had this whole list of big absences, and I said, you guys, I need this taken care of. I talked to everybody, and don't worry about it, and it's going to get, if it's this and it's that, and I don't know. I said, I don't know what it is, but it needs to get fixed, cause obviously the system isn't working.
Yeah.
And so at the union meeting, after the union meeting, my new committee man walked up and said, hey, I need to talk to you. You are on the discharge list. I'm like, what? Wait a minute. I'm supposed to be getting hired. How can I be on both lists? So Tuesday we'll find out if I am going to get fired or get hired.
Oh, my. how couldn't they not get that fixed right away, right now? They can fix that right now. What are they waiting for?
I don't know, honestly. I can't tell you because I don't know why it's happening. I mean, each person has told me it's happening for a different reason, and so each person is doing something different to try to get it fixed. So I'll have days disappear. They'll disappear off of my dashboard, but then I have new days up here because it continues to keep happening. So
let me understand this. Let me understand this. If you work 2 days in 1 week and you're off 3 days, you get marked absent?
Yes, I get marked absent for the 3 days I'm not scheduled.
Oh, good Lord. I think the supervisor and the union ought to get together and have a long chat. It should take about 5 minutes for him to fire up that computer.
Yeah, well, yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Next stop for you, if I was you, I'd go to labor relations and find out what the hell's going on.
Well, that's another story. I'm not sure I want to get on, but.
Okay.
<Uh-oh>.
That's another.
I want to stay away from labor relations because I've never been there. But somebody seems to think I have been, and so no, I don't want to deal with that right now. But yeah, hopefully on Tuesday I will be in there with my committee man. Hopefully it's going to get resolved so that offer, because I don't know how they can offer to hire me if I'm on that list. So I need to get off of it quickly.
Get that off. Yes.
So, yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Don's right. Don's right. It should take, well, it might take a little more than 5 minutes, but it shouldn't take very long for the acting supervisor to get into whatever timekeeping system that you have and
they
adjust
have to have
that
a
and make that right. No, it's not difficult.
She's under a code as a part-time worker, so how is it getting screwed up if she's code it right? She might not be, you know, her code might be different than what it should be.
Right,
and that's what I'm hearing, that they're coding me wrong, and so the second shift, because I'm on second shift people are handling that, but my dashboard says I'm on first shift, so that where the other problem is that it's showing me on first shift and I'm missing first shift too. You know, there's nobody.
You might be the only part-time worker with 60 absences. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's incredible.
I can't say it's been a blessing because I've been on, you know, I email everyone all the time, including, like, HR, and say, hey, please don't fire me. I really haven't been absent. That's what
I
say. So,
that's insane. That's crazy. Hopefully Tuesday will be worked out for you.
Yeah, let's hope. But you know, and then in my mind, Scott's question from last week was going out through my mind. Has anything happened since you've been speaking out? I'm thinking I'm on the TV fire list.
Yeah. First thing popped when you said that, I said, uh oh.
Brian Keller has an answer for that. I mean, if you get discharged, just get a sign and go out in front of Solidarity House.
Yeah, you get right back in.
Yeah, I
wouldn't.
Yeah, a sign, or, you know, I've been saying I'm going to write a book about my experiences.
There you go.
I said I need to do that. I'm just thinking it's boiling inside of me. It's going to have to come out somehow. If you know, I'm just it. You know, I want to see. I hate injustice, and I hate the little guy getting stepped on, and I think that, you know, I know there are people that misunderstand me for whatever reason at work, but this is really just the basis of who I am. You know, don't hurt anybody, or I'm going to come after you. If I know anything about it, because I hate that. You know, that's not right. And I think that we all deserve to be treated appropriately. And I think that at this point, you know, you're utilizing part-time workers. You need to treat them appropriately and not misuse them, because that's what's happening right now, is you're taking advantage of part-time workers because you're saving tons of money utilizing them. Okay, utilize them if you want, but do it fairly. And our unions across the country need to do that and stand up for these part-time workers and make sure they're treated right. So that's all I say. I'm not, you know, if they want to hire part-time workers, that's, you know, that's their business decision. And then but the union's there to make sure that they do that right and they manage the part-time worker in the correct way. That's fair, isn't it?
Scott?
Yes, it's fair. I guess it's about as fair as you're going to get. Fair is you abolish the tier system altogether and the temporaries and make everybody whole. That's
absolutely
fair.
You're absolutely right.
You're doing the work. Like I said, Don and I knew somebody that was a temp for 12 years. Poor guy. I mean, went for a long time as a temp, and how do you can't even begin to fathom how you can try to structure a life around that, because 1 week you could be working, next week you couldn't be.
Right.
Everybody else is getting a bonus this week. You're not. Somebody's
absolutely
getting a profit sharing check. You're not. Now, wait a minute.
Right.
Now, wait a minute. And the person that Don and I are referred to, he worked just as hard as the person to the left and the right of him that was a full-time seniority worker. He did the same amount of work. Heck, he would bust his butt and he would work whenever they need him somewhere else. He would offer help.
Right, and that's what I mean. If, you know, I don't know where it came in that they allowed part-time workers in. My point is that if you have allowed it in, then you should be taking care of us. And that whole issue is a problem. We just went through that. We got the silver rating at Jeep. And the full-time workers got $2,000 bonus. And those part-time workers were there as much or more readying for that as the full-timers. Now, why is that fair? And why didn't the union do something to stick up for us and say, hey, if you're going to be utilizing more and more of this, then we need to take care of these workers in these other areas? But again, they didn't represent us in the general area at all either. So that was almost a secondary kind of thing, you know. The general part of the contract got us messed up by allowing them to use us whenever they wanted, because, as they said, I mean, it came out of their mouths that they didn't have time. We are not their focus. That was not what the focus was or the interest was in representing the membership at the time of negotiations. That came from the international rep. So what they said was what the focus was those tiers, which really is a part of that. But the focus was to get rid of the tiers, and somehow that didn't happen either. But okay, so that's where I'm coming from. You got us here. If we're here, then treat us fairly. If we can get rid of that and get us full time, then great. But while we're here, something needs to be done to be treating part time workers fairly. And that's where I'm talking.
Well,
so
just real quick, history of tier system inside the UAW. I don't usually name call, so you don't have to stoop to that level. But, you know, I'm going to pin one on. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I don't want to call it names. You know, I'm not above that. Go ahead.
Right. Well, that lion dog president that we have of the UAW, and he is a liar. I can prove that in plenty of times out of his own mouth, things that he's written from the editorials, the Detroit papers, and things that he said in public, and some of the videos that are out there. In fact, me and Don did a great show on that one night, and, well, it must have hit a nerve. Because I pulled apart. remember that. We pulled apart everything he said on a 45-minute speech. And I used nothing but the national contract and the Constitution to refute the things that he said. So what happened was this lion dog president we have, Dennis Williams, is the one who come across, and he started the tier system at John Deere. And from John Deere, it went over to Caterpillar and then to Case. By the way, that's where Navistar at that time was Ron Gelfinger, I believe. And then, of course, then at the ag businesses, that's where they first did away with the three-year contracts also. Went to 4, 5, 6, and 7-year contracts. Next year, in Saginaw, Michigan, used to be Delphi. They now have, is it a 5.5-year contract, Don? Is it a 4.5-year contract?
I want to say 5.5, but I'm not sure.
Right. They wound up with an oddball, half year, and
yeah.
That's by design. That's by design. So that's where the tier system came from as far as the UAW involved. I mean, the Japanese have been using tier systems and temps for a long time, and, you know, nobody ever talks about that, but that's what they do. They do that for multiple purposes, not just financial, but for benefits, because if you're only working so many hours, you're not entitled to full benefits, and that saves that corporation money. So there's a lot of stuff that gets involved in this tier system, but ultimately it comes right down to the core of what we believe is the UAW, that injury to one was an injury to all, and to purposely, financially injustice somebody. I don't want to, throw that word around light, but that's what happens. There is an injustice here, and somebody who has enough brass to want to come out in public and talk about injustices, such as Vice President Cindy Estrada White or Dennis Williams, to talk about social injustice or financial injustice, and then turn around and add more tiers to an already broken tiered system, there's just no excuse for that. So we call it like we see it. And that's where that tier system come in. And when we're talking about that, while it's still fresh in everybody's mind, we try not to let people forget about this. People forget a lot of things. You'd be surprised how quick people forget about things. People forgot about not getting a profit sharing in the year 2000 or 2001 because we had to absorb Oldsmobile. And then later on that year, if Don remembers right, they says, "Oh, look, we did make some profit." But nobody pressed to get the membership or profit sharing check. But anyway, Dennis Williams was at the special bargaining convention back in March. And if you remember right, I quote, "Tiers, hell, we've got too many tiers already. No more tiers," right? He wanted to get out of the bandwagon. No more tiers. After he left the convention, it wasn't even a half an hour later, he's out back, he's talked to reporters, and he got busted saying that he would entertain the thought of more tiers. So here you are talking to constitutional delegates, union presidents, and union top chairman, and all the rhetoric about we got too many tiers, and then 20 minutes later, you're out back behind Cobo Hall, and you're talking about more tiers. So that's where I have the problem with Dennis Williams as president of the UAW. And Teresa's absolutely right. In the game of divide and conquer, we are merely pawns. They keep us bidding, fighting each other instead of fighting them. And that's exactly what they do.
And the problem, you're right. And the only way that's going to change is if if we as a membership really get a hold of that and can stop the fighting and get together and remind them that you work for us. Remember that's how this whole thing was set up, and that when you were talking, I was thinking about how the membership is making it more and more them separated from us. Now they are supposed to be representing us, so they need to be connected to us, and we've allowed them somehow to separate, and we can't get to them because we got to go through everything else. Now, I completely support and understand the need for following chain of command, but when you can't reach your elected officials, then I think that's a problem. You need to be able to, there needs to be somewhere you can go, a next level you can go when this one isn't working, because there needs to be a level that makes that person responsible for not doing their job. But there's not anymore. And so the membership is supposed to be in charge of making sure all that happens, because they're working for us, right? So we're technically
right.
Their boss. We're technically their boss, and so why don't we have more control over that? Because we're fighting with each other instead of being unified and together working to make sure that stuff doesn't happen. We're afraid to take the steps, or we've allowed there to be too many obstacles put in the way. We were talking about, you know, replacing stewards because they're not doing their job. If the steward's not there doing your job, you know, to me, I come from a business world. I do come from having worked in a business world setting, and I've been in social services for many years. And your supervisor tells you, you know, what your job responsibilities are, and you're responsible to them. And then if you can't get help from them, you go to their supervisor, which is supposed to make them responsible to help you with what you need to do your job or whatever, you know. But we're not having that because we can't get it. So we're like, okay, so then there's this thing in the Constitution and our bylaws that say we can replace this steward because they're not doing their job. And the person above them seems to think they can't enforce them doing their job. So we need to do that, right? Except for then the membership is like, it's impossible to make happen. And so there's nothing we can do. Well, and that's where we get stuck in the very first stage of representation.
Right.
So,
right.
You got a phone call, kid. Let me get this phone call up. 810.
You got here a little while ago.
810.
Really?
919. I'm gonna put whoever that is back on mute. Okay.
You might have accidentally hit one.
Yeah. If you want to say something, push your button once to get it off and push it back on, and I'll get you right back up. So go ahead, kids.
I think either we need to do something as far as trying to make it more doable to have those that bylaws so that we can have stewards replaced if that's a problem. I'm not saying all of our stewards are a problem. I'm just saying that in this, we're talking in here and we're saying that our leadership needs to change. So there's a lot of roadblocks and a lot of problems in making that happen, but we're the ones that are supposed to be in charge, right?
Correct.
Telling them what to do for us. So then ultimately, you know, we got to get off our butts and get it together.
Correct. There are locals that I'm aware of that in their bylaws, they can remove their committeemen. It takes just as little as 25% of that area that's being represented from that individual, 25% of his constituents can bring his charges up against him at the local union and then go from there to have him removed, just like there's language at different locals where they can replace people for up to a certain period of time to cover, let's say, you know, something happens, God forbid, something happens to the committeemen, and there's less than a year of his term left. They can move the alternate up and then bring in somebody to replace the alternate on a temporary basis for a known period of time. That can happen. But there are ways of removing elected officials.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, is it a due process? Yes. Do you have to be diligent? Yes, and I'm sure you understand all that. But it's due diligence at another level. And, of course, you don't make friends out of it because what we deal with now at a lot of locals is the good old boys club. So, you know, you're not just fighting the corporation, you're fighting the machine too. So it's hard because you are taking on City Hall when you have people that you feel are not doing their job. There are ways of removing people, but it's a long, lengthy process. And usually by the time that process gets through, it's time to elect somebody in 3 years anyway. So, get yourself, like you said, now looking forward to the next convention is the same thing you're going to do with your elected officials. That's what Scott Holdison's been doing in Chicago. They've been pulling this off. They've been getting more and more people elected. That local is getting in line with, I guess what you could say, is constitutionally aligned. And that's awesome. But it's taken them years to do it. And it's a hard thing. Don will tell you, because Don was around in 1979, they had the best labor agreement ever negotiated was the UAW GM contract in 79, and that lasted about 6 months before Roger B. Smith started whittling away at that, saying that they couldn't be competitive and they had to have that, and the union started giving that back. And
yes.
Once you lose it, you almost never get it back. And if you do, it's hard. It's a long, lengthy process to try to get it back.
Well, we haven't got you haven't gotten hit days back, have you?
No. No.
We had hit days once a month. Depending on what day is the last digit of your Social Security. So if you could have a three-day weekend or somewhere during the week, and we had those, I forgot how many, maybe only six, five or six, but they were gone real
13.
Fast. Was there 13?
13. And your birthday. And your birthday off.
I don't know that either. I don't remember. I'm an old man, you know. Forgive me for stepping in.
You ain't that old.
Yeah.
Well, our local has sick days. Our president or our chairman is, we have a pretty good chairman, and he has protected that for our Jeep. They have sick days here. So
Sick
I have
right.
to say that there's so much about our local that is great. There just really is. So I can't. But it's a local. And it's a bigger thing, you know, and the bigger thing is keeping the smaller things from being all they could be.
So. Sure. Sure. Every local was an amalgamation from Solidarity House. I mean, they ultimately answer to the regions, and the regions answer to Solidarity House.
Rebecca, was that what you're talking? Were you talking UAW stuff or just a few minutes ago? Bigger things, little or small?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Just want to make sure I had it clear in my head. I thought maybe you were talking about something else. I'll try 919. 919, are you up on? No. Was that somebody talking? Hold on for a minute. 919?
Bigger things, little or small?
Oh, no. Well, okay. Apparently he must or she must have butt dialed. Okay, go ahead.
hey, it may happen. Well, I mean, just like you said, as like you said, was it 242 years ago? You know, we're fighting for our independence. We're fighting for our rights. And the problem with this is we've already got them. It's just we need to reclaim them. They're there. They're just being misappropriated against us. And that's how it starts. I mean, we have to get these tiered people up to us. We have to all be equal. I mean, that's one of the first things we've got to do. Then, like I said, the next thing we have to do is we have to go after our leadership. You need to hold them accountable, folks. Every chance you get, you ask your union steward or your committee person, you ask them what's going on. When you see your president or your vice president, if you stop by the local union hall, ask them what's new, what's happening, you know, what's going on, and why are we doing this? Ask questions. They don't like it because people can't tend to become complacent and don't ask questions. And when we lax off on our leadership, that's when it seems like we get taken advantage of the most. And we need to stand together. And when we stand together, then we're not divided. We're together on this, and then that's when we can start making some strides forward instead of backwards or sideways. So, real quick.
I'm sorry.
Real quick. Teresa did post something, and I want to talk about this. We did talk about this this last fall. If you guys remember, there was a bill passed that was going to limit union money for being involved in politics. Do you guys remember that? And how that could affect VCAP?
I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about.
Okay.
Nobody knows what Scott's talking about. Scott.
Okay. Well, last fall, there was a bill passed. Remember, they said that the Secretary of State and elected officials couldn't talk about politics for like 60 days in front of an election? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Also, in with that bill was that they were trying to make it illegal for your employer to garner money towards union PACs. In other words, like VCAP, okay? So they make it illegal for, like, General Motors to collect money from me or Donnie, he was still working, towards VCAP for the political arm of the UAW.
Right.
Excuse me. And Teresa has posted that a judge, today is Sunday, so it's been Friday, a judge has ruled an injunction on that, saying that that is illegal. So we'll see what happens with that, but I'm glad she caught that and put that up there because people don't realize how much money that the UAW collects from VCAP and how much of your dues every month goes to the political arm of the UAW. And for some people who are paying probably too much for the representation that they're not, the representation that they're not getting, I won't mention any names, but it's 11%. It's what everybody pays out of your dues is what goes to the political arm of the UAW. And then, of course, the VCAP is additional money. And there are people who put in a half an hour or an hour, 2 hours. There's some people that put more than that, a week or month, into VCAP, and they were going to make that illegal. So this judge's ruling came out of Flint, by the way, so this would be real interesting to see what happens around that. So I wanted to throw that out there real quick.
Teresa's been great this week. She's posted a lot of great articles. Everybody go
check
them.
Yeah, she's been crazy busy this week. I couldn't keep up.
Hell yeah, I don't know how she does it. She is, she's fantastic. I don't know how in the world she does it. Well, it's 8 o'clock.
Yep.
Well, it is 8 o'clock. Do you want to continue or not? It's up to you two.
Well, what kind of time?
Do
we
what
can go
you
a little
want.
Bit longer if you want. Yeah, there you go. Do what you want to do. Yeah. We can go a little bit longer, I guess, if you wanted to.
Through the sack of two. Let me tell you now. Get your thing.
Who
go ahead.
Who does socket to?
Get your thing.
How about,
song in 1880. All right.
How about who can we encourage? How about who can we encourage instead?
Well, that's better. That's better. Go ahead.
I want to encourage. I want to encourage people to be strong and to. Get out of your comfort zone and to look into what it takes to be the best, union person, member that you can be, and, right where you're at. I know it's hard, and I just want to encourage more people to get more involved. You know, I was at my union meeting Friday night, and I was pretty bummed. I only seen, 3 part-time workers there, and I was like, and there probably were more, but I don't necessarily know them all. But I had I put together this little booklet for part-time workers, and I just updated it, and I wanted to hand them out. So I was a little bummed I didn't see more. But that's every month, and I really every month I'm hoping for more to show up to be able to stand up and say, have a voice. And, there's a time during the meeting when you can ask questions and you can, give input. And I don't want any worker, let alone a part-time worker, just to stand back and feel like a victim. I want them to get out there and get involved and say, hey, I'm here. And what are you going to do? How can I be involved? And let's make this what it's supposed to be, So I'm still in that stage, you guys. I can hear you thinking, she thinks things are going to change. Things will change. I hope things will change. But I know that it takes a lot of hard work, and it's not easy, and takes a great deal of commitment from people. But then I think at the same time, that commitment has to come. It's only going to come when we see the support. And, when you're out there trying to do stuff and you get bogged down with a lot of negative and, no encouragement, then it's really hard. And I understand people's frustration on that level too, but I don't want them to be there. That's why I'm like, I want to encourage as many people as I can to not give up, even when it looks like it's not the greatest thing happening right now, just to keep going.
Right.
There's got to be a way to make it work.
Right.
Right.
And the only way is for people like you.
Well.
Right. there's an old saying that I...
Go ahead, Scott.
Go ahead. There was old saying that I picked up, and I'll share it with you.
Oh, boy.
Success? Yeah, thanks. Failure is measured in cans. Success is measured in cans. And I think that applies to what you're talking about here. You have to keep trying. I'm going to show my age a little bit. But, that pie in the sky song, you got to keep trying. And if you stop trying, then they have won.
Talking about that rubber tree plant. Are you talking about that rubber tree plant again?
Oh. And that poor little ant. You bet I am.
Oh, my. Every year you got to bring that thing out of the dust and say it. We've only been doing this 10, 11 years. Show's been on 11 years. And I bet I've heard that about 12, 13 times.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are the ones with the experience and a lot of the knowledge, and we all, you know, can only benefit from what you have to share. I just like to try to use all that and encourage people, you know, because you guys certainly know what's worked and hasn't worked in the past. But I just recently wrote a letter to my chairman about how I'm hoping that we would look at some changes in how we do some trainings and stuff, because I think that the new generations that are working in our plan are different. And even from you, Donnie, I mean, you guys all operated under this different mentality, a work ethic and everything. And, you know, generations, we probably have, in some plants, we may have four different generations working right now. And I don't think our union, the focus or how it works, to bring people in and get them involved is meeting these people, at most of them, because it's back in the most, and I don't mean disrespect by this, it's back in the older generation, and it's trying to operate under that when this generation today does not relate in that way. They don't talk that way, they don't look at life that way, and so we're missing them. We're missing reaching them and getting them involved because we're not connecting with them. And my hope is that somehow along the way, that if we can change that, we could see a difference in the involvement and in the desire to be involved than we do right now. We can increase that if we can change that.
Right. Right. Well, we just want to see the limited amount of people who are losing bodily fluids from a southern orifice. I guess is a nice way of putting it, because that seems to what's happening here pretty bad, and it's getting worse. Every local people don't realize that in all three of our big contracts, things are going to be starting to be implemented that we've never seen before. It's going to happen. It's coming. I mean, 2 weeks ago, we could talk about this. Gary Castile come out. Teresa found this nugget of information, and I actually printed it out to have it. And it's Gary Castile talking about works councils. And that is, in some way, it is in all three of our contracts now, and that's just another way for them to control the local unions and the region from Solidarity House. And that's going to happen. And you know, when you talk about temporaries, you know even the Bible talked about how you're supposed to treat your slaves, you know, and they're not even doing that very well. So I don't refer to the temporaries as slaves, so don't get me wrong. But awful affordable labor in light of record profits across the board, you know, and that's coming off of somebody's back. It's not coming off of theirs, you know. I'm not saying that Sergio and what's that?
Well, the company surely is taking advantage of it. They know that they're not stupid. They've read the research, and they understand what I've just talked about as far as generational differences. These people that are taking these part-time jobs and are people who need work and are willing to sacrifice things. They're willing to give up a benefit to have a paycheck today. And they know what they're willing to do and not do. And they're utilizing that to their benefit. Now, what we need is our union to step up and say, well, we need to protect this benefit and this for everyone Because these one day this group of people is going to realize how important that is. They may not know today, but they will know in the future, and then they're going to go, why did I let that go? You know,
right.
they need somebody to stick up for them in that way and not allow that to happen. So, but
right.
it's true. You know, our each generation has changed, and the generation we're in was more likely to vote for this contract than your last one, which was sad. But you know, like you said, when you hire somebody to sell it, you hire yourself a good one, they can sell you anything. And they sold that contract to a group of people that are going to regret it. And probably already do, but, you know.
Yeah.
So,
was you on that night that Mary came on? I think Mary asked that question best. Yeah, how's that contract for you now that that bonus money's all gone? How
right.
happy are you with that contract now? You know, she asked the question.
Right.
You know, and that was a great question to ask. You know, and you're right. There's supposed to have been a buffer. The system that you and I and Don are part of is that buffer. And that buffer between the corporation and the employee was supposed to have been the union. And what happens is that buffer's been basically removed, because not only did they allow the tier system, but they allowed the expanse of the tier system. And to such a point that in all three of the contracts, they give pay scales in vacation periods to temporary. Now, I think if you're in there working, you should be entitled to everything I've got too, and that includes benefits. And I don't know why somebody hasn't come out and hit on this yet, because we talked about this 2 years ago. If you're in there working and you're employed from your employer is supposed to cover you with full-time benefits. If you're in there working, he's supposed to cover you with full-time benefits. He's not supposed to be able to force you to the Affordable Care Act. And there's hardly any talk or discussion about that. And we talked about that a couple of years ago.
It's because there's nobody representing the part-time worker. I've started trying to open that communication and say, where's our representative at? You know, they think they're representing us, and in certain areas, they are certainly some. I love our chairman; he does a good job for us. But there are people in the system that don't represent us. And
absolutely.
And so when it came to contract time, where was that? Where it didn't make it, and I don't know where in the system that it fell through the crack, but it didn't get there, and that wasn't represented for us. And I've got a problem with that, because I'm a union paying member, and I wasn't represented in contract talks. That's a problem. And so it's not being discussed. Nobody's listening to it. And then what we're told was, well, it was not supposed to be, you're not supposed to really be part-time that long. Well, okay then, but I am, and so let's deal with it. It's here. Let's deal with it. So put it into place, and then when it comes to the time that you guys get it worked out that no more part-time workers, we're back to full-time, you're hiring it in, then you can let it go. But right now, we have it, and we have not the representation that we need or deserve. I started something, you guys already know, I started a website, a Facebook site for part-time workers of the UAW because of the union dues issue to inform more people of that. And I'm telling you guys, would be shocked that I put on there the different contracts, you know, from the three bigs. And so I put down the supplemental agreements out of ours that has to do with any of the Chrysler FCA plants. And I had one of the people write me and say, are you sure this has to do with us? And I said, yeah, if you're your FCA plant, then yes, this is your national agreement. So they took that and showed their union, and the union said, that has nothing to do with you. You're a TPT. That's a TE. And I said, they're either lying to you or they don't know what the contract says, because there's no TPTs anymore. It's out of the contract. So I said, we have a whole plant of part-time workers who don't know anything about their supplemental agreement because their union is telling them it doesn't exist for them, that they don't have an agreement. We don't have the representation we need across the board. And when I say that, you know, people think, try to take offense and say, yeah, I'm talking about, I'm not talking about just, I'm talking across the board. I'm talking about the, across this country.
Right.
I have told people and told people, I appreciate our chairman. He does fight for us. And I will say that until I don't work there anymore because he has done a very good job for us. But, you know, it's just one small, and there's plenty of area that we don't get it and that we need it. So, and this is, I just feel bad for them. I said, you know, no, you need to tell them, take this to them. This is your national agreement. This is you, you have to operate under a contract. You're a union member. So, so here we have this plant who's going to start trying to educate their union on the fact that they have a contract. You know, that's just, and that's why it keeps happening because, and when I met with, when I met with the three from International, I said, I think, you know, there's so much education that needs to happen, but it has to, I believe, it has to start from the top. It has to start because they're like, this is a local thing. This is educate. You're right. It is educational thing, but it needs to start from the international level because we have locals who are telling their part-time workers they don't have an agreement. How, you know what I mean? It,
yeah.
It has, I don't know how to put that. We have unions. We have locals that are telling their part-time workers, you don't have anything. So we need representation. That's what we need.
They don't. They do not know the contract.
Right.
So does the retirees, and so does the active worker, the seniority worker. We all need representation.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're throwing the people that got the things that we've got to benefit from for years. They're throwing them under the bus.
Well, and Scott, you know, I'm terrified for retirees and for the ones that are getting to retire. Because what the reality is okay. So right now, our people in office right now are representing the needs of our retirees. Am I correct? Is that correct?
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Okay, so how well are we doing right now? And if we look at how well we're doing right now, how well are we going to do in 5 or 10 years when the group of people who are right now part-time workers and new hire full-time workers that are being treated like nothing and be giving no respect, no consideration, and they're going – and they're not being trained – in how to be a part of the UAW, how to run how the UAW runs is supposed to be, what solidarity is, you know, why the union makes it, you know, the whole thing. They're not being trained in any of that, and they're going to be running the locals, and they're going to be going into negotiations. What do you think they're going to represent when they get there? Do you think they're going to care about you? Because right now you're telling them to go. So, well, I won't say because I don't use words like that. They're going to go tell you to jump off a cliff right now. That's what they're telling us. You don't need representation. You don't deserve this, or you don't, or you're not getting this, you're not getting that. So when they get to leadership and they're representing your needs as a retiree, do you think they're going to care?
No.
No. No.
I think somebody better start putting a little more attention in this area, or you know, our people right now, our retirees are, you know, in a lot more trouble. And you all that are getting ready to retire, getting up there, you're going to be in the same boat.
Right.
I don't understand why people. I don't understand why people don't see that.
When we talk about this work, when we talk about this work council thing. Right.
No, go ahead, Scott. If I stop, that means you go. I thought we had this figured out.
Yeah, there you go. Hey,
11 years.
We'll figure it out, right? Yeah. When we talk about this Works Council thing, and you go back to the special bargaining convention of last year, okay, this is the things that were all incorporated into our national contracts across the three. On page 9, Okay, they said enough is enough. It's time to bridge the gap. I know we've heard all this malarkey before. It's time to win a raise for all. It's time to eliminate two-tier thinking from our bargaining demands, and it's our moment in time to make this move. They did that, folks. They did eliminate two-tier thinking. They just replaced it with multi-tier thinking. You know, you have to be careful how you read things, because how we think that it stood and what they said in public, they didn't lie. They did. They eliminated the two-tier thinking. Now you got five-tier thinking. And they expanded on that. And that buffer between us and them, between us and the corporation, is basically gone. And like Rebecca says, you're waiting, like me, retirees in waiting, the people who have 20 years, I don't know what it's going to look like in another 10 years for you folks. I don't know what it's going to look like 10 years for myself or for Don. Hopefully Rebecca's hired by then. Hopefully Rebecca's full-time by then. And, you know, and the things that she's in.
By then we'll have 300 right. days of absentee.
Oh, probably 1,000 over 10 years, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
So,
no, you give her some kind of award.
Oh, Lord. Well, if I'm still around, guys, I'll fight for you. But, you know, I don't know.
I hope there's a whole lot like you out there.
There needs more of us out there, and, you know, more Brian Kellers and Scott Holdison's,
yeah.
And more Rebecca's, you know, more
Teresa's,
more Don's. That's how, if we can kind of keep connected, interconnected, that's how we'll maintain some sanity through this whole process. And hopefully we can use that as an education tool for the people who listen to the show, like the great people down in Arlington, Texas, that listen to us on the line. They understand.
Right.
They can relate to everything what we're talking about. They're living and breathing it, you know. And of course, you know, there's people from Louisville and Wentzville and Lordstown. There's people from all over, from Ford and Chrysler and General Motors that write into the show. Haven't heard from Monday Morning in a while. Nice to hear from Monday Morning if you listen to the show.
I have heard from him. He still listens to the show, but what we're talking about, it has nothing to do about the UAW. But I'm going
right.
to have him, and he listens every Sunday, so he's listening right now. You know who. I want you to tell me about you know who. And you know who it is Monday Morning, because we talked about this gentleman before. So
right.
email me. Tell me what you got on this guy. I can't see the guy's name. I don't want to give it out or give it away. So I
right.
have mentioned tonight, as a matter of fact.
There you go. So, but anyway, yeah. So I guess as we're gearing down here, once again, I want to thank everybody who's served our country in whatever capacity, whether it's active or reserves. Or if it had been your mom, your dad, your grandfather, or your grandmother, or your great-grandfather, and whatever else, we want to thank you also. And let's not lose focus that, folks, this fight's not over. This fight's not over for our country, and it's not over for our union yet.
Do what you want to do.
Is everybody going to see some fireworks?
What's that?
Is everybody going to go out and see fireworks?
Listen, I'm done seeing fireworks. I mean, they go boom, go up.
They have
good.
All kinds of beautiful ones.
Oh. I know that you do.
Donnie's so, Donnie's so old, right? When he coughs, he sees stars in front of his eyes.
You deserve that.
Thank you, brother.
You said that to me, right? Okay. Okay.
Well, you know
right.
How old you are.
Well, yeah, but
you know?
I don't. You put me down for it. I didn't tell you I'm up like that. Jeez.
So what do we
and
have to do,
get,
Donnie? To what do we have to do to get you to stop calling me two Beavers? I'm waiting for a third one, and that would have been better never happen, mister.
Well, that almost happened. I don't know when it was.
Oh,
oh dear. Pretty soon I'll stop calling you Buckeye.
Okay.
I like Buckeye Becky. I think that's a cool name. What's wrong with that?
Oh, my gosh. Because I hate both of those words. Both of those words are very bad.
That's the idea I had in mind when I said it. Come on, give me a little. But Scotty, is that what you're trying to do? Wrap it up? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, I think we'll try to wrap her up about 8:30. But hey, as in Dennis Hopper, if you remember Dennis Hopper, and Dennis Hopper's words, bad things. Bad things, man. Bad things.
What? I don't know what you're doing over here, Charles, but I must not be doing it. Because I don't understand what heck you...
Well, Rebecca's talking about using bad words, calling her two bad words. And it reminded me of Dennis Hopper. Dennis Hopper used to say, bad things, man. Bad things. I used to like Dennis Hopper.
Thank you.
Bad Donnie.
Both of you bumped your head. That's what you both done. Something happened to you. Mother
240 years.
Yeah, 240 years. Let's get back to that.
Yeah, 240 years. So,
I like to think I had two sons in the military. One's out now, one's a career. And he's a major, and I'm proud of him. And he's stationed in Kentucky right now. On his way to Alabama for dual training with the Air Force. So, congratulations to my son. Ha, Christopher.
And to both of Scott's sons. This is really cool. I am in awe of our military. I have
like
the greatest respect.
You're like a man in uniform, do you?
Well,
I'm just asking. I was watching this educational film last night, and this person got kind of hot under her hair, if you know what I mean, when she's seen somebody in a uniform. I was just wondering.
That's funny.
My God, I can't.
I was in the ROTC. I was in the ROTC in college, and so I got to see part of that training, and I considered signing up, but that's I'm just like I'm not. That's just really not me. I'm too soft, and
right.
So I ended up not doing it. But just really, I've always appreciated the guys, and I've tried to stay connected with them as long as I could. But people scatter, and I just appreciate all the.
If you ever seen Scott, you'd say he was a little too soft, too, for the military. So, like a Pillsbury doughboy. I'm still slim and trim.
Touche, huh? Touche, huh?
Yeah. Get what I could, brother. Get you what I could. He opened the door, and I went through it.
Okay. All right. Well. And not that you're old or anything, but, who was president back then? Or were we still riding horseback? Just want to know.
Eisenhower.
Eisenhower. Hey, I got him on a 50-cent piece. I got him on a 50-cent piece. I know.
Shut up. Don't get me going on.
Okay.
All right. Rebecca, you get hired. and we want better news from you. You start going to work when you're supposed to. Now, if they're going to keep marking your ass, you have to show up 5 days, whatever the schedule says.
Well, I told him, I said, if you guys want me to come in, I'll come in. All you can do is tell me.
Yeah, damn right. If they're going to mark the ass, I would show up for work. Punch in.
That's right. That's right.
That's a good idea. I never thought about that.
I'm supposed to be here. Say, yeah, I'm supposed to be here. You're marking me absent, so evidently I was supposed to be here.
Scott, do you remember when I signed up for retirement, then I canceled it about 6 weeks before I was going to retire the first time, and I didn't get a paycheck for about 6 weeks or, well, I forgot how many weeks it was. Oh,
yeah.
That you couldn't get off of one list to get on another list to save my life. I didn't get off the retirement, and they weren't sending me a retirement check. They did send me one, and I didn't cash it, of course, or I'd have been out. And I was going to work every day, neighbor, and no paycheck at all for six. I don't know how many weeks. It was quite a while.
I was going to say, you was in limbo for like almost 2 months, wasn't you?
Yeah, it was
limbo
right there. Yeah. Yeah, and then they got my pay rate wrong, and they had to go back and fix that and back pay me for all that. So it was a mess.
Yep.
I don't know how they want to get on another list. I know how that is. You're talking to people that just seems to not understand your plight in life.
I seem to add some drama to the show for you guys, so I'll see what my drama is next week.
You do spice up the show, I'll tell you that. You do spice it up. I wonder what happened to Rebecca this week. Every time I set up the show, I do that. I say that to myself. Wow. You have some bad luck, girl.
Oh, no, don't say that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have a good time tomorrow, though, on the 4th of July, and I hope you guys do, too.
Me, too.
There you go.
I've had 61 of them. I think of the military tomorrow while you guys are eating hot dogs and watching pretty colors in the sky. Now, if you take the math like I did in the 60s, then you'd be right. Then you could appreciate those colors in the sky. You'd be singing Lucy in the Sky. I'm telling you. But of course,
well,
that was
haze,
one.
Of, huh?
Real stupid. Purple haze?
Yeah.
We better stop.
Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. And I'll.
You guys are past me.
Well, I don't.
Uh-oh.
I don't know what to say.
Uh-oh.
Are we going or are we staying?
Well, if you pause your music, you can close the show out with that song if you want. That's a pretty good song.
I don't know.
Happy 4th of July, everybody.
I could sing you some Cajun songs, but you're both a blush if I did that. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Oh,